Yes. Okay. Hopefully you can see my screen share.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Travis Tylan here with Planning and Development. Thank you for the opportunity this afternoon, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling, walk you through some of our, where we're at now from the 2019 FEMA disaster events for South Dakota, and then also touch a little bit on the 2022 disaster event and kind of where we stand at the moment. So backing up to 2019, if you all can recall, we had four different events in South Dakota. The South Dakota Game Fish and Parks became eligible applicants in three of those, and that was a pretty large three events for us. We ended up with about 90 different damage items. All total at this point in time, we're currently looking at around 5.2 in obligated federal funding for that. That number could increase to around 7 million depending upon the determination status of one bridge replacement project that we're still working on with FEMA. So this, I guess to put it lightly, this is a long haul thing for us with them. These projects, getting them obligated, getting them repaired, and then closing them out is something that's been ongoing for the last 3 years and likely will be potentially another 3 years before it's all said and done and complete. And then, as I mentioned, we had that 2022 event, a windstorm, a one-day event that we'll touch on a bit towards the end of the presentation here. So to give you a visual of, I'm sure you're all very well aware of the affected counties, but the first event that took place in 2019 in the March and April timeframe, we had property and damages in 22 different counties as a department that we became eligible for public assistance. In the second event, we ended up with, it was a smaller event for us for damage. We ended up with just three counties where we had properties. The largest one being the Newell Lake Dam Spillway out in Butte County. And the fourth event for the state, but the third one that we were applying for public assistance for eligibility ended up being a fairly large event for us. We had seven different counties where we had properties within that we are claiming damages for. One main difference between the first event in the March and April timeframe versus this one here, the 4469, is we had time to prepare a bit for the first event. We were able to take some emergency protective measures for that, but this event in 69 probably hit us so hard and fast that we had a lot of damages that we were helpless with. So when we get into status of the approximately 90 items, the majority of those I would call, we categorized like with roads and bridges and then water control facilities. So roads and bridges is what it is, and culverts, and then with water control, I'm referring to dams and spillways and things where we're managing and controlling water. Of those 90 items, you can see where we're kind of standing right now with status. So we made a big push early on. A lot of these damages within that 90 were completed by local staff. Some of which were even done prior to when FEMA got involved in the fall of 2019. And we're still currently whittling away at those numbers, where we currently have six under design, four more currently under construction. And then once we push those out, we'll probably bring another 6 to 10 in from the queue of 15. So we're getting close to the end with as far as getting repairs completed, and then the process and the paperwork with FEMA will be ongoing for project closeouts. So when it comes down to preparing for repairs and assessing the damage to determine what's the best path that we take, what's the best way financially to use the money that we have that we're given and the money that we have to kick in. And there's a few options that exist for us depending upon the location the damage is in, and maybe what the public expectation might be, and also is that the facility we want to bring back into service based on the uses that were occurring prior to the event. So I mentioned emergency protective measures that we were able to employ from one of the first events, and I'll provide you some examples. Another way we do this is a simple repair to pre-disaster. And it is exactly what it says. We're going to return that facility back to exactly how it was before the event. An improved project is something where we can take federal obligated funding for a damage. We can apply some of our own state funds and make it better, for lack of a better term. And then an alternate project, I'll get into a couple examples of those where we don't have to necessarily use the federally obligated funding to back into that, either that particular damage item, or maybe we do something different in an entirely new location. So emergency protective measures. I wanted to provide a really good example of what took place at that point in time, where we were able to prepare local staff, hired a contractor, we moved some cabins out of the floodplain. And this was even before we knew we might be eligible for any federal funding at all. This was just basically done to where we knew we were going to have facilities that could be impacted, and getting them out and back in was going to be a quicker return for public use than if we had a facility that got flooded at that point. And this was conducted in several locations, and it was just kind of more practical for that moment in time. And I guess in the end, with the federal disaster declaration, we were eligible to collect reimbursement on the costs that we incurred for moving those cabins in and out. I've discussed repair to pre-disaster, and providing a really, really easy example of that here, where at Snake Creek Recreation Area, we had a parking lot that went underwater, and wind-driven waves damaging the edge of that asphalt. And this is, like I mentioned, the majority of our repairs were conducted using this return to pre-disaster. It's typically the best value. It's I think FEMA prefers us to do it this way because it's easy to see what was there, and then we can return it back. And the process is pretty quick and easy for that. And it's just showing where we had edges repaired on a parking lot. Another example of a repair to pre-disaster here at Woodruff Lake was also utilizing hazard mitigation funds. Here in this case, we had a sheet pile.